Sask Ag Today with Doug Faulkner.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sask Ag Today. Coming up on today's program, Statistics Canada has released results of a survey asking what farmers intend to seed this season. Chief Agricultural Editor for SaskAgToday.com has digested the numbers and provides his reflections on that report. Not many surprises in the U.S. Department of Agriculture's monthly supply and demand estimates report, which was released on Friday. PI Financial Commodity Futures Advisor Adam Piccolo will tell us all about that. The Saskatchewan government has renewed a five-year funding agreement with the Global Institute for Food Security at the University of Saskatchewan, also known as GIFS. We will hear from Steve Webb, the CEO of GIFS, about their research and what all the funding will mean. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of Sask Ag Today. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers BioMeal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist. Welcome back to Sask Ag Today. Statistics Canada has released results of a survey asking what farmers intend to seed this season. The 2024 seeding intentions for principal field crops surveyed 3,239 Saskatchewan farmers between December 14th to January 22nd. Farmers plan on seeding more durum wheat, lentils, dry field peas, oats, and canary seed, but less canola, spring wheat, barley, mustard seed, and flax seed. The chief agricultural editor of SaskAgToday.com, Kevin Hirsch, reviewed the numbers and says Saskatchewan falls in line with the rest of the country for expected seeded acreage of most crops, except for lentils.
The acreage overall and in Saskatchewan is expected to go up, but the acreage is actually expected to go down a little bit in Alberta. And really that's because Alberta is a more minor lentil producer and they grow red lentils. And StatsCan didn't differentiate between greens and reds, but I think reds are certainly a lot lower price, and probably that's why those grown in Alberta will go down. Reds in Saskatchewan may go down as well, but greens will probably go up substantially.
Saskatchewan farmers plan on seeding 5.5% more lentils this year at 3.4 million acres. Seeded acres for spring wheat is expected to be down 3.1% to 8.9 million acres, but durum wheat is expected to go up 5.3% to 5.2 million acres.
That's exactly right, and I think that is a testament to neither one are all that attractive price-wise, but durum does have a strong price premium still over that of spring wheat. So that's why they're talking about a durum wheat acreage increase of 5.1%, while overall spring wheat is expected to decrease by 1.2%. So that does make sense when you look at this survey of farmer intentions.
Canola acres are expected to be down 4.9% at 11.8 million acres. Here are some of the other planting intentions. Barley drops slightly to 2.8 million acres. Dry peas is up 2.4% to 1.6 million acres. Flaxseed down 19.3% to 418,500 acres. Mustard seed down 6.1% to 435,500 acres. And canary seed up 9.7% to 263,800 acres. Hirsch notes the data is subject to change due to farmers possibly making last-minute changes, but for him, these numbers don't change his plans.
I've pretty much got it cast in stone. It's changed a number of times, going strong on pulse acres, and then a little bit of canary seed. I do worry minor acreage crops. When you see an acreage shift in them, you can go from boom to bust. So sometimes it maybe pays to go against what everybody else is doing, but that can also burn you. So it's a difficult thing. On a lot of crops, we aren't going to, what we, you know, 3% or 5% one way or the other isn't going to change the world market. On a few crops like canary seed and mustard and green lentils, how much we produce here does really affect the overall price. So it is something to watch, but the acreage is one thing. We don't know what the production on that acreage is going to be. So pretty hard to make firm decisions based on what that might do in the market.
And Statistics Canada will release its report on stocks of principal field crops on May 7th. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, Ag Review.
15 to 20% of oat growers in Western Canada apply a plant growth regulator to their crops. That isn't an exact number, more of a ballpark estimate of how many farmers use Chlormaquat, which is branded as manipulator. That use has prompted two class action lawsuits in California against General Mills and Quaker Oats. The Cheerios case was filed in California on February 23rd, 3 days after Quaker Oats was hit with a lawsuit that alleged a number of its granola, oatmeal, and chewy products contained the same harmful pesticide. The lawsuits note that the amount of Chlormaquat found in oat food is 40 to 100 parts per billion, but the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has a maximum residue level of Chlormaquat in oats of 40,000 parts per billion. The levels detected in cereal and granola bars is not even close to the maximum residue level. According to a study released today, Alberta's ban on some renewable projects could hurt $11.1 billion in investments and stall up to 6.3 gigawatts of solar and wind power capacity. The new rules can potentially impact 42 projects valued at over $11 billion and several thousand jobs. Last month, Canada's main crude oil-producing province implemented a ban on renewable power projects that were to come on prime agricultural land, and also ordered creating buffer zones so that wind turbines do not spoil scenic views. The provincial government has, however, said exceptions would be made if developers can show crops or livestock can exist alongside the project. It also has said the rules are not a blanket ban on building on certain types of land. The ban has attracted criticisms from some local companies who have claimed the new rules would create business uncertainty and jeopardize billions in investments, threatening to move to other provinces or the U.S. However, it also has been characterized as putting agriculture first. The United States Department of Agriculture's monthly supply and demand estimates released on Friday were largely left unchanged, the exceptions being South American corn and soybeans, as well as U.S. wheat. The projected ending stocks for Brazilian corn were raised 200,000 metric tons from the February estimate at 6.17 million, which could bring more pressure to already beleaguered U.S. corn futures. In Argentina, ending stocks remained at 1.03 million, with production and exports each going up 1 million metric tons at 56 million and 42 million, respectively. Brazilian soybeans saw a marked reduction in projected ending stocks for 2023-24, losing 3.25 million metric tons at 33.05 million. In Argentina, production remained the same at 50 million metric tons, with ending stocks unchanged at 25.96 million. U.S. wheat saw its 2023-24 estimated carryout rise by 15 million bushels at 673 million due to an equivalent reduction in exports to 710 million. Production was unchanged at 1.812 billion bushels. CN and CPKC Rail supplied a combined 67% of hopper cars ordered in Grain Week 31, a notable deterioration from the 77% order fulfillment performance seen in week 30. CN saw a slight decline in performance, while CPKC saw a considerable deterioration as compared to the prior week. In supplying 74% of cars ordered by shippers in week 31, CN saw performance deteriorate from the 80% order fulfillment performance seen in week 30. CN performance remains below the 90% performance threshold for the ninth consecutive week. CPKC performance declined considerably from the prior week, with the railway supplying 58% of shipper orders in week 31, as compared to 73% in the prior week. CPKC performance remains below the 90% threshold for the seventh consecutive week. Tessa Ritter, who is Stakeholder Relations Manager with Viterra, has been elected Chair of the Canola Council of Canada's Board of Directors. Board elections were held Thursday at the Council's annual general meeting. Ritter takes over from Jennifer Marchand, who completed a two-year term as chair but remains as a director on the board. Chris Anderson of DL Seeds and Tyler Greneveld of Corteva AgriScience also joined the board. Outgoing members were David Kellner and Ryan McCann. And SaskAg Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose SaskAg Today. And yes, it is free. And that's today's Ag Review. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will continue right after these messages. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Falconer. It's mainly sunny and 4 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. Not many surprises in the U.S. Department of Agriculture's monthly supply and demand estimates report released on Friday. PI Financial Commodity Futures Advisor Adam Pacallo read the entire report and had this to say.
To summarize it, a quick kind of the report reaction, there was really nothing controversial. That's kind of the best way to kind of put it. People won't really like the Brazil soy bean number, but the biggest thing kind of just looking at it is we did see on the soybean side to start, the data was mostly kind of neutral U.S. info with almost kind of no change from last month. But I would say it was actually a little bit bullish from the world info, though. So world exports increased a couple percent. World stocks declined 1.5%. World soybean oil stocks declined 6%. So again, a little bit of a positive maybe spin kind of worldwide for that. On the corn side, again, kind of neutral info, I would say kind of for the most part, some good world info with world exports higher than 1%. World stocks were kind of lower by 1% as well too. And then lastly, for wheat, it was kind of a bit of a mixed bag. We did see a decent reaction from the futures market, and here this morning we are up a little bit on the Minneapolis wheat front. But kind of one thing that I am watching when it comes to the soybean side of things, as of March 5th, money managers held a record net short in soybeans. So basically meaning funds are still betting that soybeans are going lower. So that surpasses the prior high set on May in 2019. So we have been seeing a 16th consecutive week of funds net selling in the soybean market. So that's kind of something that I have been kind of watching here as it relates to the canola market. However, now that we have been seeing maybe a little bit more on the positive technical side for canola and on the soybean oil side, palm oil going up, that's been actually positive for canola here in the kind of to start off the week.
He says the report is status quo for most commodities.
It definitely kind of seems like that. Again, kind of building off of what I mentioned about the kind of the record short on soybeans, but the world-ending stock numbers were, I would say, somewhat positive just to kind of hear for kind of all grains, whether it's kind of corn, beans, or wheat. They were all kind of a little bit lower than the trade estimates. Again, U.S. numbers were pretty much in line with U.S. ending stocks, what traders kind of did come out with. So that's where I would say kind of overall, it wasn't a big market reaction. And however, it wasn't at least a negative report. So that's where we might potentially see some short covering maybe, or something like that, depending on maybe some of the weather that comes in here kind of in the springtime on maybe for canola, for wheat, that type of thing.
And Pucallo says the time of year doesn't play much into the markets.
I wouldn't say that necessarily, that there isn't big swings this time of year, because I think there could always be big swings in the markets. But one thing that I spoke about last week as well, too, is sometimes we do see a bit of a low in some of the grains, like, for example, canola here, in the March time frame, as funds don't really want to be short kind of a market going into kind of the spring potential, you know, weather season. So that's something we often do see a bit of a low here in the March time frame, which is why I've been starting to kind of actually talk to clients about their new crop plans and, you know, maybe how to look at using options to protect on some rallies and things like that.
That's Adam Pucallo with PI Financial in Winnipeg.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures have closed for the day. April live cattle closed at 187.60. That's unchanged. June live cattle closed at 183.02, down 40. April feeder cattle closed at 253.10, down 1 full cent. May feeder cattle closed at 255.37, down 137. April lean hogs closed at 83.27, down 110. May lean hogs closed at 90.60, down 75. And that's the livestock market conditions. The Saskatchewan government has renewed a five-year funding agreement with the Global Institute for Food Security at the University of Saskatchewan, also known as GIFS. The $3 million per year will support ongoing operations such as supporting crop breeding through sequencing, biometrics and data analytics services or technology development that facilitates commercialization of new products. Steve Webb is the CEO of the Global Institute for Food Security.
We are a research and development organization. You heard Dr. Singh say we're the business arm. So we've come at this, we run this as a business. We sit in the translational space, so we complement the core university, like the agricultural college, and all the knowledge that's being created at the industry, and partner with industry to help bridge the gap and bring invention through the innovation pipeline into the marketplace. There's a big innovation gap in Canada. One of the reasons for the gap is there's no one really occupying the space that we do with the at-scale technology platforms that we have. And when you come at research from an industry perspective, I'm not interested in one or two or three. I'm interested in 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 shots on goal to be able to get products into the hands of growers here in Saskatchewan and around the world.
A couple of months ago, the Global Institute for Food Security at the University of Saskatchewan released the results of a two-year study providing evidence that Saskatchewan's production of five major field crops has a significantly smaller carbon footprint compared to Australia, the United States, France, Germany, and Italy. This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister David Merritt.
Their customers are starting to ask, how's it growing, where's it growing, and what's its carbon footprint? So that's why it was very important for us and the Global Institute for Food Security to do this research. We've quantified it now, and it's a great story, and we'll continue to tell it.
And Webb says GIFS has been able to attract the top agriculture research scientists in the world.
We recruited a quantitative geneticist out of Germany to help lead the program here. She comes to us from the animal science and animal breeding side, where they've adopted this technology and pioneered it since the early 2000s. And she arrived in October and has enjoyed her first winter and found it very cold. So again, our ability to attract talent from around the world, from across Canada, our engineering biology platform lead, has also, again, come to us from Toronto to lead the only engineering biology platform that's focused on agriculture and food right here in the province of Saskatchewan, and it enables that biomanufacturing investments that's been made in, like, the Saskatchewan Food and Industry Development Center, and advancing the biomanufacturing industry economy here in the province and across Canada.
Steve Webb is the CEO of the Global Institute for Food Security at the University of Saskatchewan. The Saskatchewan government has renewed its five-year funding agreement. The official announcement was made just this morning. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will continue right after this. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. The Saskatchewan Crop Insurance Corporation unveiled its 2024 crop insurance program last week in Melville. That was the first topic of discussion on Friday's SaskAgToday.com roundtable with Chief Agricultural Editor Kevin Hirsch.
We broke the story on what exactly crop insurance prices were going to be ahead of the announcement, because that information was coming out to producers. And certainly there was some new stuff in the announcement made by Minister Merritt at the Crop Insurance Office, primarily things like more weather-based programs for different kinds of forage would probably be some of the major stuff. As expected, coverage rates are down. The premium is also down because the coverage rates are down. But something I would suggest for producers is that they look at some of the pricing options, particularly the contract price option, and it's long been available on most crops. And if you have crop contracted for new crop at a price higher than the crop insurance insured prices, you can give that information to crop insurance and they'll factor it into your coverage levels. For instance, I have some maple peas contracted at a price well above the crop insurance price. I've got some large green lentils contracted at a price well above the contract price. I'll use the contract price option. My contract is only on the first 10 bushels per acre of those crops, but it will still increase my coverage levels. And this is an option, I think, that has been underutilized. If you're really believing that crop insurance is wrong and grain prices are going to be way stronger on any particular commodity, you can also go with the in-season price option, and your coverage level for prices will be determined after the growing season, after the crop is in the bin, but prices can move up or down, so you do take risk with those. I really like the contract price option because it gives me some certainty.
He also reacted to the news that strychnine was being completely banned in Canada, effective September 7th.
Well, I was actually surprised because I thought strychnine had stopped being sold. You could get it through the rural municipalities up to a few years ago for poisoning gophers. I thought it was banned for that use entirely already. So I don't think there will no doubt be some producers with strychnine out there, and they actually should not now be using it, but we've seen this coming for a while.
Hirsch then talked about the rise in canola and wheat markets last week.
It's good to see some strength or some upward movement, particularly in that canola market. I guess the question is now whether this marks the bottom and we're going to see it crawl back upwards, or whether this is a momentary reprieve or it's going to just sit stable. There's a lot of unpriced canola and a lot of people looking at it. When you do the calculation to what you're being paid at an inland terminal, you know, maybe 13.20 a bushel, something like that in many cases, not very satisfactory, but good to see that the decline stopped. And in addition to the USDA reports coming out, StatsCan on Monday is going to come out with a seeding intentions report. But that's the Canadian acreage intentions, but I think it will be largely discounted because it's based, as I understand it, on a survey of producers back in December, and things have changed since December. We're a couple of months more and more than that further along, and intentions may have changed, but it will still attract some interest and some analysis when that report comes out on Monday.
He also discussed the strength in Saskatchewan agri-food exports to India.
Yeah, particularly on peas, I would say that's a big deal. And it's a good thing that India is buying, because if you look at almost all of the grains, China's purchases from Canada are way, way down, especially for feed barley, but also for canola. So it's a good thing India is in the market buying some, and that's one of the reasons pulse prices, relative to the other crops in many cases, look superior.
Hirsch then commented on last Friday being International Women's Day and how far women have come in agriculture.
I graduated, way back in 1980, and we had more women in our graduating class than previous ones, but probably only 10 of the 80 maybe. And in recent years, there's been more women than men in the College of Agriculture. That probably dates back 5 or 6 years since women actually overtook men within College of Agriculture. So a very interesting trend overall. And as you go to lots of farm meetings, especially if it's agronomy related, oftentimes the people presenting, whether it's researchers or agronomists, are women that have come out of College of Agriculture.
And he concluded by talking about the SARM convention, which starts on Wednesday in Regina.
With 2,000 people attending, you know, it pulls counselors and Reeves from RMs across the province. It's a real meeting place. It's a grand stage for both government and opposition politicians. And there's always news comes out of the SARM convention. One other thing to watch for next week, and maybe this report will even be discussed in some part of the SARM meeting, is that Farm Credit Canada will release its farmland values report as of Tuesday of next week. And I suspect that we'll see farmland values increase once again. I'm predicting that for 2024, we may see that those kinds of increases slow down, and maybe it might even be the tipping point for farmland values for a while, given where commodity prices are at. But shouldn't get ahead of ourselves. First thing to watch is that Tuesday report on 2023 values from Farm Credit Canada.
Kevin Hirsch is the chief agricultural editor for SaskAgToday.com.
Commodities update.
Canola futures closed up across the board today. May canola closed at $6.1570, up $6.10. July canola closed at $6.2330, up $5.60. May Minneapolis wheat closed at $6.70 per bushel. That's up 7.25 cents. May Kansas City wheat closed at $5.98¾. That's up 10 cents. May Chicago wheat closed at $5.47¼, up 9.5 cents. May corn closed at $4.41¾. That's up 2 cents. May soybeans closed at $11.79¼. That's down 4¾ cents. May oats closed at $3.70¾. That's up 8 cents. And that's the commodities update. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will return right after this. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Falconer. We're 11 days into Agriculture Literacy Month in Saskatchewan, and Agriculture in the Classroom has a lot planned for this month to mark the occasion. Executive Director of Ag in the Classroom Saskatchewan, Sarah Shimko, says they're visiting elementary and high school classrooms around the province.
This is always a really big month for us. It's a month where we coordinate volunteers from the agriculture industry and classrooms all across the province. And it's an opportunity for these volunteers to go into the classroom and share their personal story about agriculture. It's a chance for kids to ask questions, to be, you know, real curious and really connect with somebody who is involved in producing the food that they're growing. So this year it's really exciting because we have 161 volunteers that are going into 332 classrooms across the province.
She notes the information is specific to each grade level.
Yeah, we have different tailored resources for kind of kindergarten grade one, the grade two, three level, and then the grade four to six level. And this year, we were very excited to have a new storybook that we were able to give to every single kindergarten to grade four student. And the storybook is called All the Farmers You Will Know. And it's a beautiful little storybook that showcases the diversity of farmers. And we were really pleased to partner with WS Marketing and Cargill to have one of these books for all of the 7,000 students.
Shimko tells us what they use for high school students.
So for the high school students, we are focusing on our food budgeting game and our career case, career exploration game that we have. So that presentation looks a little bit different for those students. Most of those presentations are also being facilitated by one of our staff members as opposed to a volunteer. You know, we find sometimes volunteers don't really love going into those high school classrooms.
She notes that this year's theme is diversity in agriculture.
Some of the activities are very specific, and I would say the overall reason that we chose diversity as a theme this year is we know when we look at the students in classrooms across the province today, it's not necessarily reflective of the farmers and the agriculture industry that exists today. But when we're considering the future of agriculture, we know that we are going to need more diversity in terms of the people working in our industry. And so it's an invitation for students of all, you know, backgrounds, interest areas to really consider maybe pursuing a career in agriculture when they're a little bit older.
And Shimko says Agriculture Literacy Month is growing in popularity.
Yeah, our numbers are a little bit higher again this year. I think last year we were only around 6,000 students, and this year we're up at 7,400 students. Also during COVID, it seemed that a lot of our volunteers pursued other passions, I'll say. And so last year we had a bit more of a challenge finding volunteers. So we're so pleased with the number of new volunteers that have stepped up to the plate this year. This program is really only successful because of the volunteers from across the agriculture industry who choose to support this great initiative, and we can't thank them enough. And I would say, though, there's always room for more volunteers. So if anyone out there is listening and thinks, hey, I'm maybe willing to share my story with some students next year, please, please sign up. You can sign up at any time during the year to be a volunteer with us, and we'll flag you and let you know when the CALM volunteer applications open in January.
Agriculture Literacy Month is a nationwide effort with provinces across Canada proclaiming the month.
Farm Bulletin Board.
The Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association has been holding their Zone annual meetings. There's only one left. It's coming up for Zone 2. It's their annual meeting on March 20th in Weyburn. So if you want more information on that meeting in Weyburn, simply contact the Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association or check out their website. That's coming up on March 20th in Weyburn. Parkland Learning Events. The Canadian Association of Farm Advisors has an event coming up. It's a panel discussion on farm financial planning. It'll be held on Wednesday, March 20th. It'll run from 9 until 10:30 in the morning at Community Futures Ventures at 204 Smith Street East in Yorkton. However, you must RSVP for that event by March 18th, so that's 1 week from today. You can RSVP sending an email to denise@philipchuckmanagement.com. And Monty Taphorn and Denise Philipchuck are a couple of the people who will be taking part in that panel discussion. It's now coming up on 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today, a mix of sun and cloud, winds west-southwest at 15 to 25, and a high of plus 3 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy, winds west-northwest at 15 to 25, a low of minus 9. For tomorrow, partly sunny, winds north-northeast at 15 to 25, a high of 0. For tomorrow night, mainly cloudy with a 40% chance of late flurries, an east-northeast wind at 10 to 20, an overnight low of minus 4. For Wednesday, mainly cloudy with a 40% chance of morning flurries, winds east-northeast at 15 to 25, a high of plus 1. For Thursday, partly sunny at times and a high of 0. And for Friday, partly sunny with a 40% chance of evening flurries, a high of plus 2. In the Paw, Brandon and Shoal Lake Russell, it's 3 degrees. Swan River and Dauphin are at 2, Roblin 1. Regina, Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington 4, Saskatoon 1, Hudson Bay 3, Broadview, Mooseman 5. The Yorkton-Melville region has a mainly sunny sky, a southwest wind at 4 kilometers an hour. 72% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 4 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for SaskAg Today for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.